Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and we're changing things up just a little, throwing you a curveball here tonight. We're going to big-time guest number one right out of the gate as we welcome in Joe Tafoya of Jump It Media, former NFL player for a few teams, including the Seattle Seahawks. Joe, thanks for taking the time out tonight.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Joe. So, yeah, we'll get right into it, man. You know, starting your illustrious career, of course, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you went through, you know, with a few teams, of course, ending up with the Seattle Seahawks. You know, tell us a little bit about the early part of your career and, you know, how you came about to, you know, towards the end of the career as well.
Yeah, so I was a seventh round draft pick. Tony Dungy drafted me out of the University of Arizona, and I played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice, and a lot of other really talented defensive linemen. I never had a chance to make that team. Then I preseason game, I broke my ankle, and the team released me, went off into an injury waiver or free agency. Sat around on my couch for a little while. The Bears picked me up. I went and played for them for 2 years out in Chicago. And I was picked up by the Seahawks, played football with us. And then last season was with the Cardinals. Played my whole career in the NFC. Never got to go to the AFC.
Joe, you're coming in and out a little bit. I don't know if you're in a portion of the office or the house that's that doesn't have a good reception, but I'll try to, you know, get you through here. So starting out with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know at the early part of your career was a little disheartening, especially with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that at that time in 2001, going on to the Super Bowl. And of course, playing against a team that you're familiar with, of course, you growing up in Northern California, going to in Pittsburgh, California, and getting a chance to play against the Oakland Raiders. You know, give us a little bit on the rejuvenation when you got to Seattle and got the chance to actually play in the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, so can you guys hear me a little better now? I was downstairs in the office.
Nope, I got you. Coming in
okay,
good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I got a chance to play with a couple of teams, the Bears, the Seahawks, the Cardinals. And my favorite team was the Seahawks. And it was for multiple reasons. I played with Grant Wistrom and Bryce Fisher and Rocky Bernard. Played with Lofa Tatupu. It's really, really outstanding talents on that team that really nobody knew about. And when I got to Seattle, the organization was just far and away better than any of the organizations I was part of previous than that. So Paul Allen does a great job of taking care of the team. Obviously, he's I think he is the richest owner in the NFL. And so I really enjoyed the support that the community gave, which is a large part of the reason why I ended up staying in the area and really making it my home. I met my wife out here. And, you know, just the Pacific Northwest really ended up being my favorite place to be. So I left California for the Pacific Northwest. How's that?
Well, Joe, you know, there's a lot of great things about the Pacific Northwest, as you know, now that you've made it your home. And talking about your time with the Seattle Seahawks, what do you think, are there similarities in the 05 team that you were on that went to the Super Bowl, the 06 team that was still very good, and the current team that we're watching right now on Monday Night Football?
Not really. And let me tell you why. The only similarity is that there's this feeling you get when you watch the team play that they're just going to find a way to win. And that's about it. Because this team now, I mean, Pete Carroll, the way that he manages the team is distinctly different than what Coach Mike Holmgren did. Pete Carroll has a loose, fun attitude about him. It's the mantra is always compete, and those guys have a lot of fun with it. They have some real for real superstars on the team. Richard Sherman has made quite a name for himself in the NFL now by being boisterous and, you know, backing it up with the play that he does. Percy Harvin, a guy that is known around the NFL, that's a name. Marshawn Lynch, we got some real guys on offense and defense. Whereas the 05 season, we really didn't have, we kind of came out of nowhere. The only real superstar we had was Sean Alexander. So from that standpoint, I think that we flew under the radar a little bit, which was nice until we got to the Super Bowl, and then everybody realized, hey, this is a real team. These guys have some real talent. And, of course, we got cheated out of the Super Bowl, so that was unfortunate. But I had to throw that in there, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely have to agree. Yeah. As being part of the 12th man and a big Seahawk fan, I definitely agree with you on that there, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. But no, this team, they have some real talent. And like I said, you watch them play and you think to yourself, no matter what the score is, they're just going to find a way to win. Somebody on that defense is going to make a play. Marshawn is going to bust away one of his patented beast mode runs. We're going to win. That's really the same feeling that we had in 05. So it's a magical season happening right now for the Seattle Seahawks.
Joe, thinking back to your playing days, in terms of all the players that you got to play with, you mentioned Sapp and the Bryce Fishers and the Grant Wistroms. Who did you learn from the most and try to model yourself after on the field?
Let's see. You know, this is going to be interesting for you, but one of my favorite players that I ever played with was Lofa Tutupu. And he came into the locker room as a rookie and really just his leadership style just took over. Even though he was younger than me, and came into the locker room as, you know, really unknown player. We picked him up in the second round, I think, and nobody knew who he was. He had come out of University of Maine and transferred over to SC, and then he came to the Seahawks. But he was a guy that, you know, just the style, the mentality that he brought to the locker room was something I always tried to emulate, which, you know, hard nose, really learn the game of football before you go out and start practicing, and you know what you do in the locker room and what you do in the film room really matters, which was different than most of the other players and teams that have been around, because in the NFL there's so much talent. You can overcome a lot of things by being a very talented player. Now, seventh round draft pick and, you know, backup defensive end, special teamer, I wasn't the most talented player on the field at all times, so my approach was always, I'm going to be smarter than you. My technique's going to be better than yours. And that was one thing that, you know, Lofa was really good about that. So it was a sad day when I watched him walk away.
Joe Tafoya, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Joe, so after your football career, you know, of course, there were some injuries here and there, and you're pretty much second guessing, you know, should you play or, you know, or should you move on? Of course, now you have Jump It Media.
Right.
Tell the listeners a little bit about Jump It Media and what that entails.
Okay. So what's interesting about that, the earlier comment you made about should I stay or should I go, a lot of guys don't get to make that decision. And I was one of them, actually. I got injured and I broke my foot and I tore some ligaments. And when I came out of surgery, the doctors told me, hey, you know, you're getting up there in age, you're 29, 30 years old, and the NFL, they basically count that as dog years. And you're not going to be able to cut and run the same way that you used to. You know, I was always kind of the last guy on the bubble for the roster. So that decision was made for me. Some guys don't have the ability to know when to turn it off. You see a lot of guys that are just kind of waiting for the call. I met up with Jordan Babineau the other day, who's out there. He's a fantastic talent, but, you know, his salary cap numbers don't allow for an easy pickup. Mm-hmm. So I always had a really great business sense, and I was the one guy that people would come to in the locker rooms for advice, whether it was advice on, you know, investments that they had made or advice on personal issues, just trying to be that kind of a person. I found that a lot of the things I had learned in my journey to the NFL really transferred nicely over into the business world, and just the relentless personality that I am allows me to, you know, really flourish in the business world, because there's a lot of ups and downs, as you guys know, in, you know, trying to make a name for yourself outside of the NFL and trying to make a place in the world for yourself. So I started my own company, and I got the blessing of my family and my wife to give myself 2 years to really turn it into something. And we're a marketing firm, and we market live events. And we've done over 30 events. Some ones of note where we did a what's called a mobile app hackathon. I partnered up with AT&T and brought in one of my former linebacker friends from the Chicago Bears, Lance Briggs, and we had a bunch of hackers develop a mobile application for him. Really, really successful event. Then we put on the Richard Sherman Celebrity Softball Game. I'm not sure if you guys were there, but it was a huge success. We drew in 7,000 plus people over in Tacoma, Cheney Stadium. And the last thing that we did was we took on a new client called Volume 12 and went out and broke the world record for loudest stadium cheer.
Wow. And so, yeah, so that, you know, that's interesting because, you know, one of the things that you had mentioned earlier as far as, you know, having a game plan after the cheering stops, if you will, you know, a lot of players don't have that. And so for you, you know, was that something that you learned at the NFL symposium, or was that something that you've always had? Because it seems like once your career was over, you found a new life in this business. And as a result, you're going on to prosper and do great things. And of course, you know, Lance Briggs from Northern California as well, Elk Grove High School. You know, it sounds like, you know, you guys definitely have everything, you know, as far as, hey, we understand that our career is over. Well, Lance is still playing, but you understanding that your career is over, you know, let's start a new chapter. And, you know, you're right. There's not too many people that do that.
Yeah. It's interesting because I look around at my, the people that I came out in the NFL with, and I look around at what people are doing. There's some successful people, some people that aren't so successful. But at the end of the day, what it really boils down to, and I see this a lot, is if you've got a relentless personality and you're just a type of person that just will not take no for an answer, you're going to find a lot more success than you do failure. I've been told no so many times in my life, and having to start from the bottom and just find a way to make something happen for yourself, for your friends, your family, your business, whatever it is. And, you know, those are things that those skills you're able to hone through professional sports, through college sports, high school sports, where you have to learn how to work as a teammate and work in an environment where there are other people that are directly competing with you, but you just find a way to do better. You're always trying to improve your skill, improve yourself, the way that you approach business. And it's that personality, for me, that I think really attracts people, attracts business, and people trust me, and they know they can come to me with something, and then I'll help them get it done. I like to surround myself with those kind of people as well. Just find winners. Give me a winner over a Harvard grad or MBA student any day, and we'll find a way to do it.
Well, Joe, I got to say, I definitely like your story, not obviously growing up and getting into college football and obviously and then the pros, but now you've figured out how to turn that passion and that drive and desire into something positive outside of the game and outside of that spotlight. And because personally, that's what Sean Boyd and myself here, that's what we're trying to build from the ground up, from the ashes and rise like the Phoenix. And, you know, we have this internet broadcast and we both work games at NFL venues. And I've worked, you know, many games in Seattle for the TV networks and worked, you know, pretty much all of them when you were playing in 05 and 06. And, you know, it's just something that we're passionate about and trying to get that train rolling and get on the right tracks. And with that drive and passion, hopefully that can happen.
Well, I love it. You guys are working during Monday Night Football. So that says a lot about the two of you guys right there. You're willing to sacrifice Monday Night Football to get out and do your show.
Absolutely. A live show is a live show, whether you're on 710 in Seattle or live all over the world on the internet. So I definitely appreciate you taking the time out tonight, and I'm glad halftime worked out to happen, right around 7 o'clock, and we'll get you back to the game as it's 7-3 Seattle in the third quarter. Seattle did punt. Joe, I'm not sure if you're keeping an eye on the game while we're on the air here, but what are your thoughts real quick on how the game's going as Seattle's struggling a little bit on offense?
Yeah, I had to walk out because you guys were having trouble hearing me, so I'm outside. But it definitely looked like that for whatever reason, the Rams seem to have figured out how to put a stop to Mr. Wilson. They're running a lot of eight-man fronts. They're bringing some heavy pressure. And they have very talented players. If you look across their defense, there are a lot of first-round, second-round talents out there. So their record doesn't truly reflect who they are. And for whatever reason, the Rams always find a way to get up on a game against the Seattle Seahawks. So don't fret. The Legion of Boom in the back in the secondary, they're going to pull off something big again, and we've got Sean Lynch, who gets meaner and meaner as the game goes on.
Joe Tafoya, thank you so much for your time tonight. I appreciate it joining us on short notice, especially during Monday Night Football. And
thanks, Joe.
Definitely check him out at jumpitmedia.com and on Twitter at Joe Tafoya. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
There goes big time guest tonight, Joe Tafoya, former NFL player for the Buccaneers, Bears, Seahawks, Cardinals, and now doing good things in the business world, jumpitmedia.com.
You've heard it from Joe. He says, don't fret for you Seattle Seahawks fans. The Legion of Boom is definitely going to take care of business in the second half. Let's hope so. With this close score and this tight game, I mean, anything can happen. You got Kellen Clemens at the quarterback, Mr. Wally. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk everything NFL and then some, and then we'll probably open up the phone lines. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
What's going on? Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And a little bit of a different show tonight, as if you're just joining us, you missed our big-time guest for the night, Joe Tafoya, former NFL player for a handful of teams, including the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals, now with Jump It Media, jumpitmedia.com.
Yeah, go figure. I mean, he had mentioned Monday Night Football and having our show on Monday night and the dedication that we have. pats on our backs, Mr. Wally, for doing that. He was watching the Seattle Seahawks, which he has picked as his favorite team out of all the teams that he's played for. And there's just reason for that. And, you know, one of the things that I was trying to, you know, get at was, is of course, he was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mr. Wally. And that year they went to the Super Bowl. So you can imagine that, you know, that first year getting released and going to another team that doesn't make it. The start of your career wasn't starting out too well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was a great coach in Tampa with Dungy, and you know, as you mentioned, going to the Super Bowl early against the Raiders, and you know, then he bounced around a little bit, and he was only even in Seattle only 2 years, but where did he choose his home? The Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, that says a lot about the Pacific Northwest. Of course, we all know, you and I know, and some of our listeners know, that that's the best kept secret, if you will. I mean, you talk about a gorgeous city in Seattle with a beautiful backdrop and Mount Rainier on one side and the Cascade Mountains and then the Olympic Mountains on the other side. Man, I mean, it's no wonder that he's picked that area as a place of residence. You know, of course, you know, getting the chance, a new leash on life after a few injuries, getting a chance to play with the Seattle Seahawks. And it was interesting, Sean Wally, that he had mentioned that, you know, the two teams couldn't be any farther apart as far as the similarities are concerned. One team, the team that he played for, you know, he says had a bunch of no names, which I beg to differ a little bit, or maybe a couple of years later those guys became household names. But that team that he played on was a pretty good team as well.
Yeah, but as he was saying, they did pretty much sneak up on most of the league. The Seattle Seahawks in 05, you know, they had a rough start. I believe they were 1-2, 1-3 in the beginning, and then they hit off, you know, a good run of, you know, 6-7 in a row, and then all of a sudden, oh, look where we're at. And of course, that was the year they had home field advantage in the playoffs, and we know what kind of a home field CenturyLink is in the NFL. And as you know, Sean Boyd, from working the NFC Championship game, when you have home field, especially in that game, it's pretty much said and done.
Yeah, you know, the noise of the crowd. I remember Joe Tafoya being on the field that game, and you know, some of the things that, you know, that he was doing, being an anchor at defensive end, and you know, Seattle had a strong defensive line. I mean, it wasn't just him either. You know, they had a strong nucleus there that made them tough. And so, you know, I'll never forget being on the field and just listening to the roar of that crowd and, you know, just the momentum that Seattle picked up as the game went on. And that was the initial process of understanding who the 12th man was for me. I mean, it was a great experience.
So, Sean, since you've experienced CenturyLink working for the TV networks, you've experienced the Candlestick Park fans, or maybe lack thereof, in San Francisco, and, of course, your beloved Raiders at O.co, how do they compare? How do they differ? How are they similar?
Yeah, you know, comparison-wise, I would say the 12th man right now, because of the hysteria that is going on, is hands down probably the best crowd noise that you could possibly have. I don't know if it's the acoustics of CenturyLink or not, but you know, to have a noise level like that is definitely intense. It's been a while since I've actually heard the crowd noise in O.co, you know, hit that level. Of course, they're trying to get back to, you know, the interest of the fans, and so they've dropped the attendance down a little bit. I believe the sellout crowds are around 50,000. It's still loud. Yet when I was in O.co yesterday, the crowd was so loud, I you know, it brought chills down my spine, because I thought, man, these guys are on the rise and bringing things back. It's one of those, you know, interconference rival games with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in, and so I was proud of that. Not to take anything away from the fans in Candlestick, because I believe that they're a dedicated group. I believe that they really love their San Francisco 49ers, but they just don't bring it the way the Seattles and the Oaklands bring it. They're not as rowdy. They're more subdued, which is the reason why you heard things, such things from 49ers fans that said, hey, you know, there ought to be a law, which I'd never heard of anything like that, against crowd noise. The actual fans who pay the hard-earned money for these players to actually play, hey, fans, tone it down. I think you kind of get your answer on you know, where these three teams stand as far as crowds.
And as we move forward on Monday night with Monday Night Football, it is still 7-3 Seattle as we're moving about roughly halfway into the third period. But the Rams are driving in Seattle territory about the 35-yard line. And, you know, it's been a bit of a chore to stop the, I guess, 2-3-headed monster that is the St. Louis running attack right now as they try to find a way to run the ball.
Yeah, more importantly is that the St. Louis Rams came to play right now, Sean Wally, and we knew that this was going to happen because it's a conference game or a divisional game. And, you know, yet Seattle still comes out a little bit flat. Here's the question that I have through, you know, out of watching the game thus far is this. At some point, Seattle just has to understand that they're the better team week in and week out and just go out and take care of business. What I've seen today, especially from the offensive coordinator, here you have a first and goal. Seattle is driving, and this is in the first half, and they go with Russell Wilson carrying the ball on, you know, going around the corner twice, and he stopped both times when you have beast mode. And, you know, part of that to me, Sean, is that I believe that the offensive coordinators are they're so cocky and so arrogant in believing that, hey, we can score at any time, which the very next play after that they did, which proves that they can score at any given time. But at some point you're going to meet an opponent. And I don't know why they did this with Russell Wilson. My thing is I believe the reason why Russell Wilson ran two plays in a row was because the play prior to that, he got hit so hard from behind, which they called the personal foul, which set it up first and goal to begin with. And I think that the offensive coordinator felt, we're going to give Dangerous this ball and get him into the end zone. And St. Louis showed up twice. And I'm trying to figure out why in the world the offensive coordinator would do that, would set up something like that and kind of poke at the St. Louis Rams. Maybe you know.
Well, I can tell you that it was very mysterious, and everybody was scratching their heads, not only as to why is Wilson running the bootleg. You know, once, try it, great. Does it work? Okay, it didn't. You do it again, you didn't fool anybody the second time, and then you don't hand Marshawn Lynch the ball the third time. So now you've got two runs by your quarterback, and then the third time you throw it. Which, yeah, I can't complain because, A, they scored
a touchdown.
B, I have Wilson and Tate on one of my fantasy teams, so that helps me tonight. But you still have to wonder, why are you not giving 24 the ball to run 1 yard? It's a little bit of a mystery.
Now, do you think that you think Beast Mode might be hurt? Because, you know, it looks like, you know, they ran Turbin quite a bit. And so I'm wondering if maybe there's something wrong with Marshawn Lynch, but you put him in first and goal, and, you know, he's looking at the goal line the whole series. I mean, you would figure he knows how to get into the end zone. He had to have taken two handfuls of Skittles, his medicine, before he goes into the game. So I'm thinking definitely that he's going to get the ball, and sure enough, he doesn't. But, I mean, right now it's all trivial because they got into the end zone, but it was then that I thought maybe, you know, Seattle is a little ahead of themselves as far as, you know, being labeled as one of the best teams in the NFL. It almost looked like they felt like we can score at any time, which, again, it shows that they can. But at some point, that might come back to bite you.
Well, I think what you're seeing here tonight on Monday Night Football is the fact that St. Louis still has a decent defense. They didn't lose any starters on the defensive side of the ball. What they lost was their starting quarterback last Sunday in Sam Bradford, two Sundays ago, last week in the NFL. And definitely a big blow to the Rams, but you still have a
Jeff Fisher coached team, a Jeff Fisher coached defense, a lot of decent players on the defensive line, and they're doing a pretty good job. And as we all know in football, the divisional games, those teams know each other. Those teams know what the coaches like to do, what the tendencies are. And here you see a tight-knit battle. Is it going well for either team? No. But right now, here we have 5 minutes left in the third period, a big third down with St. Louis in Seattle territory, definitely in field goal range, and it looks like they're going to have to go for that field goal as they do not convert. But another flag is on the field. That's another story of this game. A lot of penalties on both sides of the ball.
Hey, Sean, that you mentioned a great point. You know, I wanted to bring up the fact that Seattle playing on Monday night and then their last game was a week and a half ago. Do you think that this plays a big role in why they're coming out a little sluggish?
Well, you know, Sean, you would think that at the very least, coming out of halftime, they would have been gangbusters, turned it up a notch, and taken this game to 14-3, considering they received the kick after halftime, and Pete Carroll normally makes great adjustments, him and his coaching staff. It's not all Carroll. But the execution has not been there. I'm not going to say the coaches didn't make the adjustments, because obviously I'm not in the locker room. I'm not on the sidelines with them right now. But, you know, look at the scoreboard. Look at the stats. The offense for Seattle is almost going backwards, not only weeks, but you can almost go back to the first half of last year as to how putrid the offense is so far in this game.
Yeah, you know, and yet and still, you still hear that, you know, Seattle can turn it on like a light switch. You know, I was listening to, you know, Coach Gruden before we got on the air, and he just has rave reviews on Seattle's offense, the defense, the whole nine, everything about Seattle. And, you know, I think that maybe Seattle sometimes buys into the press clippings from time to time, which is why they're the close games that they have. But again, I still believe that in the end, they're going to take care of business and they'll wind up 2-3 touchdowns, you know, ahead of their foe. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, have they prepared enough for a week and a half? You know, you have San Francisco, you know, they go across the pond to play in London, to play in the UK, and play against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and, you know, thought that there would be a little bit of rust there. And, you know, they went out and took care of business, even though it was the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, why Seattle hasn't come out and just put a staple on this game. But you mentioned a great point, Sean, as far as the defense is concerned for the St. Louis Rams. You've got Quinn and Long, and, you know, they have a great nickel package, and these guys fly around the football. And so, you know, Seattle's in for a tough one here.
Well, it doesn't look like things are getting any better as the man who dons the jersey I wore today, number 25, everybody knows in the Pacific Northwest, up and down the West Coast, that is Richard Sherman. He is down on the turf, looks to be hurting and in pain, have some kind of injury forthcoming for Richard Sherman. And also on the injury front, I received a text from one of our previous big-time guests, Aaron Levine of Q13 Sports in Seattle. Q13 Fox Sports Director, that Sidney Rice is doubtful to return with a knee injury.
Oh, man. And so, you know, you've got one receiver coming back, and, you know, Sidney Rice, let's hope this one isn't a bad injury. Let's just hope it's just, you know, a little nick or a ding, and he can be back into the game. You never like injuries. And so, you know, yeah, Seattle's going to have to try to figure out, you know, how to pull this one out.
A lot to get to with this Monday night game here tonight. And, of course, we've got a lot more to get to in the NFL, college, and the World Series. So much to get to, so little time here on the Double with the Double S Express. Stay tuned as we'll come back after the break and give it to you as we can live here with the football game, Monday Night Football, and as well recap what happened over the weekend. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Show 25 here on the Double. Sean Boyd, the NFL, a wild week, a wild weekend that continues here tonight with Monday Night Football.
Yeah, of course. You know, it was a great weekend for football, especially for me. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines if you guys want to call in as well. If you have any questions, anything you want to talk about as far as your team is concerned, fantasy football, you name it, you can call into the show at 888-429-5471. Again, that number is 888-429-5471. And yeah, Mr. Wally, great weekend of football. Some interesting things. We can start with the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys. Man, was that not a great game or what?
Well, it depends who you're a fan of. If you're a fan of the Lions, it was the best game you've ever seen. If you're a fan of the Cowboys, it was a lot of what they've seen lately in the last few years.
Well, you know, you had Calvin Johnson, you know, just doing damage on the Dallas Cowboys secondary. And when I say damage, I've never seen anything like this. 330 yards receiving along with a touchdown. He just seemed unstoppable as far as moving the team, help move the team up and down the field, especially after being behind in the fourth quarter. You just have to wonder for the Dallas Cowboys, what is going to be next? I mean, the sideline issues that they had, you know, with, I'm forgetting.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wally. Dez Bryant and Tony Romo. I mean, this is something that, you know, I think is going to fester on a little bit unless Jason Garrett can get a hold on what's going on with his football team. I mean, the actions that Dez Bryant had were just immense to what was going on with that team. They, you know, at that time, it just seemed like that wasn't the right time. You had Jason Witten coming in, and he's trying to defuse the situation. You had Ware coming over, and they're coming over to Dez, and you know, it just seemed like Dez wanted to, you know, wanted the ball so much and put his team aside to where it had to be all about him. And I'm telling you, for a person that has kids that play the receiver position, and I played the receiver position, you know, that's not something that you want your kids to see, because, you know, I understand the passion. I understand the heart that Dez Bryant has. People could go on and on about the, you know, the physical specimen that he is and the things that he can do. But when you kill a team for the sake of yourself, I mean, man, there is no way in the world, Sean Wally, that you will be able to win. No way at all.
Well, Sean, what do you think of the response that Dez had, saying that it's all positive and his passion is all a good thing and positive. Well, it didn't appear on the sidelines to be a positive if you were Jason Witten or DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the question that I was going to ask you. Did that look positive? Whenever we see this, you know, especially it seems like from a Dallas Cowboys team, it looked like shades of Terrell Owens. Did it, you know, and of course there had to be damage control when Terrell Owens did it. And in the press conference, they come out and they make it like everything's hunky-dory. But we all find out that it was just devastating to the locker room. I mean, just craziness that you had Jason Garrett. It looked like at one point coming over, he's the head coach. He comes over and it looks like he tries to defuse the situation. But at the same time, it seemed like he had no control of the situation as Dez Bryant just went off. And so, you know, we'll see, you know, I mean, it just seems like Dallas gets in their own way week in and week out. And, you know, for one, we like to make fun and said, you know, oh, here goes Tony Romo again. I can't really blame it on Tony Romo all the time. Yeah, there has to be some accountability from the coaches, again, meaning Jason Garrett, and also from Monty Kiffin. I mean, you get rid of Rob Ryan because, you know, you feel that Rob Ryan wasn't right for the job as your defensive coordinator. So you bring in Monty Kiffin. And, of course, Monty had the great time with the, you know, in Tampa Bay, and of course winning a Super Bowl. But it just looks like right now he is, you know, the game has passed him by as far as, you know, the knowledge of the game and what he's teaching these guys. And of course you have to ask what kind of personnel you have if you're the Dallas Cowboys in that secondary and on that defensive front, because it looked horrible.
You know, one of our listeners and Cowboy fans here in the Tri-Cities, Washington area, Ricky Heisen, a huge Cowboy fan from Texas. I texted him a few times during that game as I was watching Red Zone yesterday and, you know, seeing how Dallas was losing the lead and couldn't cover Johnson to save their life. And at the end of the game, when it looked like Stafford was all set to spike it and he decided to go for the winning touchdown instead, which was a fabulous play. I don't know if that was plan drawn up or if he had a secret code word to tell the line to block for him. But Ricky's response to me, I sent him a text, said, ouch. His response was capital B, capital S, which we probably shouldn't say what that means, but everybody knows what BS means. And, you know, basically, how do you not cover Megatron? Even if you have to triple team him, even if, you know, Sean, you can tell me what you told me on your drive home from working the game at O.co as to how you can cover Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, you know, you put two guys on him as if it's a punt coverage and Megatron is a gunner. If you have to put three, four, five people on him, you put them on him and make the Detroit Lions have someone else be the hero. You know, this goes right along the lines of, you know, the NBA a few years ago when Kobe Bryant scored 81 points. 81 points. I mean, at some point, you would have to think as a coaching staff and as a team that we will let anybody else score outside of the person that is killing us tonight. And for the Dallas Cowboys to stay in that weak coverage, it was a man coverage, nickel coverage, and, you know, they allowed themselves to get torched by the Detroit Lions. It's a travesty. It is. It's an out-and-out travesty, but we've seen it before. We saw Peyton Manning come back against the Dallas Cowboys, and so this is nothing new. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you're in for a roller coaster ride, and I feel bad for you. I do. I really do, because every year the Dallas Cowboys are considered one of the best teams in the NFL. They're always put at the top of the NFC East, which right now is up for grabs. And every year the Dallas Cowboys find a way to just kick the bucket. And, you know, here we are again going towards the midway point of the season, and Dallas has had ample opportunity to make this, to put this division out of reach. But yet, as we look at the standings, and we thought, remember, we thought the New York Giants were out of it, But in the loss column, they're one game out from actually being back on top in the first place in the NFC East. It's just amazing. It's amazing what's going on.
I think you started to say it, or maybe you did, or maybe I just wanted you to say it, and that's what I wanted to hear. The NFC least, most definitely, as, you know, what is the Cowboys record right now? 4-4, and they're atop the division, and the Giants were 0-5, 0-6, and they're one game back in the loss column?
it's amazing, of course. And, you know, you have the Redskins there that are trying to find themselves. Had a tough game against the Broncos yesterday, but... you know, everybody's still in it in the NFC, as you said, least. And, you know, Dallas, again, has had ample chances to put this division out of reach. And they can't do it because they can't, you know, they can't get out of their own way, basically.
Well, before I move on to a question I've got for you, Sean Boyd, to update Monday Night Football, an 80-yard strike from Russell Wilson to Golden Tate, who was flagged for taunting. The score stands 14-6. Seattle in the lead, 2:20 and counting left in the third. The Rams with the ball in Seattle territory at the 44.
Yeah, so the Rams are coming back after, you know, giving up the touchdown. Golden Tate, you know, this guy, he, what a talent, you know, coming out of Notre Dame. And, you know, he's just an excellent receiver. And, of course, the Seahawks have a ton of them. One of the things that I problems that I have with Golden Tate is the, you know, the
showmanship.
Just the braggadocio. Man, you got the touchdown, spike the ball, you know, do the chest bump with your team and move on. There's no need to have penalties against yourself. And now here at St. Louis is they have great field position from the kickoff, and you know now they have a chance to get some points on the board. We'll see if they do, but yeah, at some point Golden has to be, you know, put in check. So, you know, I mean, they're, again, these are the little things that could come back to bite you, especially in important situations like an NFC championship or a Super Bowl.
Well, one thing they showed on the broadcast after the score, Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll was on the bench, sitting right next to Tate, talking to him and letting him know that, you know what? That's not necessary. There's no need. He was holding the football out in his left arm as he's running towards the goal line and basically giving a stiff, a vagabond stiff arm to the player running towards him who is at least 10 yards away from him. And on the one hand, there's no point for it. On the other, you know what? Tate, he's got that kind of personality. It goes back to his rookie year when he stole this ridiculous maple bars from Top Pot Donuts. And it's like, look, kid, you know, you need to think with, you know, the other part of your brain or maybe your heart instead of your brain. And he's in his contract year. This is the end of his rookie deal. So whether he gets his next deal from the Seahawks or somebody else, he's got to show that, you know, he's not going to hurt the team, and he is a great talent, as you mentioned, and he did great things at Notre Dame, and he's done good things so far in Seattle, and you just have to see, number one, consistency, but also, do you have the right head screwed on between your shoulders?
Yeah, well, for one, I can tell you that once his contract is up, Golden Tate is not going anywhere. He will definitely be in Seattle. He's that good. I believe he's that good. And at some point, he's going to right the ship. You know, what my question is you know, when Joe Tafoya was on, he had mentioned, the contrast between the two teams, the 05 team and this team now. How good do you think the Seattle Seahawks would be with a Mike Holmgren-led team right now?
You see, that's so night and day compared to how Pete Carroll runs things. And I know there were all the preconceived notions of the rah-rah and the, you know, I'm going to be a cheerleader and wear my khakis with my tennis shoes and, you know, maybe cheat at USC and maybe not, and I'm going to run away before we get hit with sanctions. Yet, you have to say, for the last 13 years, 11, 12, 13 years, Pete Carroll has done fabulous things as a head coach at both the college level and now the NFL level. He took over a horrible Seahawk team, overturned the roster with over 300 transactions in his first year, and they not only went to the playoffs in 2010, had that huge upset over the Saints, and now they, you know, were seconds away from going to the NFC Championship last year, and they keep getting better. And if they can win tonight on Monday Night Football, this is going to be their fifth victory on the road in 2013. And that hasn't happened in Seattle since, I believe, 2006. So they've had to not only change the culture, the attitude, but get their type of players, which is bigger and taller and stronger guys, but also faster, which wasn't always the case in the Mike Holmgren era.
Yeah, you know, and those points that you mentioned there are the reasons that give me hope for the Oakland Raiders definitely turning things around in a quick manner, because 300 transactions, if Seattle did the 300 transactions in this past offseason, the Oakland Raiders did 301. And, you know, you talk about getting rid of just a bunch of garbage to mold and make the team the way that you want to make it. I mean, obviously Seattle is reaping the dividends from that. And so, you know, I'm hoping that in the next year or so that we can see that definitely from the Raiders.
Well, from the Raiders' standpoint, you know, just sign up the Pittsburgh Steelers every week, because, you know, the Steelers haven't won in Oakland since 1995, the Clinton administration, which if you follow us on Twitter, you would already know that at Double S Express.
Yeah, you know, it was exciting, man. You know, I love turning on, you know, and watching, you know, a lot of the sports shows, because, you know, it was funny because they talked about Pittsburgh actually getting back into this thing. And you know, the division that they're in is a division that's up for grabs as well. And I remember them going to the schedule and started to talk about all of the other teams upcoming after the Raiders game, because it was a foregone conclusion that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers were just going to come in and step all over this weak Oakland Raider team. And, you know, it didn't happen. And so, you know, I'm very excited about, you know, a lot of the things that Oakland's doing. For one, from the first play from scrimmage, for those of you who didn't see the game, first play from scrimmage, Terrell Pryor, 93-yard scamper to the end zone. Not only was it the longest play from scrimmage for an Oakland Raider, beating Bo Jackson's 92-yard touchdown, and we all know where that one came from, it was also an NFL record by a quarterback from scrimmage. And so for all the things that are said about Terrell Pryor, and of course he's still a work in progress, he shows some glimmers of greatness from time to time. And, you know, he helped lead that team to victory along with the great defense that the Oakland Raiders have put together.
Well, it's those glimmers. It's those shining moments. It's those flickers from the diamond or the stars in the sky that lead you to believe, okay, this guy can do this. Whether it's TP2 in Oakland, RG3 in Washington, Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, Russell Wilson up here in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. You want to see that, A, can they do the necessary things? Do they show what's necessary to be a leader, to be a winner? Do they have the smarts? You know, physical tools only take you so far. Are you smart enough to take it to the next level?
Yeah, you know, and the biggest key is making sure that if you're going to be a mobile quarterback, and we forgot Colin Kaepernick, we cannot leave him out. If you're going to be a mobile quarterback, you have to have the smarts, meaning, you know, yeah, when you turn the corner, you turn into a running back, if you will. But you have to know when to slide. You have to know when to get out of bounds. You have to know when to not take the punishment that a running back would take. And so you start to see a little bit of maturity in, you know, especially from Terrell Pryor, because he understands after having that concussion against the Denver Broncos that, hey, you know, I can't take those types of hits. I'm not as invincible as I thought. You know, you see Russell Wilson, he figured it out early. Colin Kaepernick figured it out early. And so, you know, once you figure those ins and outs and the maturity level starts to progress, the game slows down for you. And it hasn't done that yet for Terrell Pryor. It's starting to happen a little bit for Russell Wilson. It hasn't quite happened, I don't believe, with Colin Kaepernick or RG3. But, you know, Andrew Luck, I believe that the game is slowing down for him. But at some point, when the game starts to slow down for them and they can actually get their true reads and make the right decisions, I mean, man, you're looking at records that will be shattered here in the next 6 years or so.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, and we'll be back right after this to wrap up show number 25 and let you know what's going on tonight in Monday Night Football as the Seahawks battle the Rams in St. Louis, and also update you on the World Series also tonight in St. Louis right after this on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Show number 25, my friend, coming to a close. Is there any type of nostalgia that you feel, Mr. Wally?
What is that? Is that silver?
It's
25
is.
Silver.
That is.
Okay, so.
Silver.
All right, so, you know, maybe a fan of DSX will send us something in, you know, silver tone or something. No,
man, I mean, 25 episodes or 25 shows in the books, man. And, of course, this is another great show having Joe Tafoya on of Jump It Media and a former Seattle Seahawk and Chicago Bear, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and I believe Arizona Cardinals. He's been around, man.
Absolutely. And what's great about Joe is he wasn't a household name in the NFL. Of course, he was known in the league, but to the everyday fan, would they know Joe Tafoya's name?
Yeah,
probably not. But Joe had the smarts and the wherewithal to think beyond football, to know that the average career is only 3 years. So, you know, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Joe Montana's, you know, the countless, the Jerry Rice, Steve Largent, Tim Browns, the guys that last for 10, 15, 20 years are unheard of when you consider the amount and quantity of players that come in and out of the league every single day with transactions. You're here one day, you're cut the next. They don't care about you as a person.
Right.
And Joe Tafoya was smart enough to say, hey, I'm not going to be a pro NFL player forever. And I need to figure out what I'm going to do after my playing days are over. And he's trying to create a success, and I believe is succeeding with Jump It Media. And you can find everything about Jump It Media at jumpitmedia.com.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Joe didn't mention was that he has, at some point in the middle of his career, he started to save and put money aside for his future. And that says a lot about a person. You know, when they do that, he understood that, you know, the things that he has now, as far as the fame and you know, the big NFL checks that come through, won't be there for long. And I have to come up with a plan B to make sure that my, you know, my future is taken care of. There's a proverb in, you know, in the Bible that says that, you know, you can't have a lot unless you can control the little that you have. And so, you know, I think Joe is definitely a steward of that. I believe that, you know, anybody who can see it, you know, in the future that, hey, I need to start doing a little bit here and setting aside a little bit there, you know, says a lot about that person, because in the end, you'll have, you know, more to spend. You'll have more to take care of, you know, as far as your family is concerned. And then you can make wise decisions as far as, you know, opening up businesses and having a greater rate of return coming back to you.
You know, Sean, one thing we haven't touched on tonight, and you talking about Bible verses really brought this home and reminded me the light went on, is that here in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, we lost Don James, the dog father, last weekend, and he was the winningest coach at the University of Washington, and we talked about it last show with, obviously, with you and I, and having Greg Lewis on, who played for Don James at the University of Washington, the great running back. And I read that, you know, they, of course, the Huskies had a ceremony for Don James and his family at halftime of the game versus Cal Saturday night. And then the official memorial was Sunday at the Heck Ed Pavilion. And here's the, you just have to shake your head in the irony of this. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Sean. Don James' daughter said that his favorite passage from the Bible was John 11:25, which, for those of you not versed on that, says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live.
Mm, that's good stuff.
On the previous Sunday, Don James read that verse out loud, took his last breath at 11:25 a.m.
Hmm. Wow. Well, you know, Don James, of course, had, you know, a tremendous effect on so many. And, you know, that is what, you know, we all as people aspire to do. That's the reason why, Sean Wally, you and I have this show. That's the reason why, you know, again, coaches like Don James and other coaches and or people who teach and in any walk of life, that's the reason why we do what we do. And so, you know, to understand that Don James, you know, got a chance to, you know, be more at peace, you know, is just an awesome blessing. An awesome blessing. You know, he's definitely missed. And of course, you know, we had the chance to have Greg Lewis on the show and talk about some of those great things. And again, of course, you know, our show is structured for, you know, finding the good. Finding the good, you know, because all of the, there's more to life than the X's and O's. There's more to life than just lacing them up and going out on the court and shooting three-pointers. There's more than just clicking, you know, your cleats and waiting for that fastball to come down the middle so you can knock it out of the park. There's more to life than that. And, you know, it's interesting that we talk about this now. And, of course, we've talked, you know, a lot about, you know, the teams in the Pacific Northwest. And we talked about the Seahawks that are playing right now. But there was also a, you know, a video that we put out on Facebook about the Seattle Seahawks and understanding that there are some players on the team that realize that there is more to life than just the X's and O's part. There's more to just understanding why they're put on this earth to do what they do. And, you know, Clint Gresham put that together, the long snapper for the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, he put together he had Russell Wilson with him. He had Sherman Smith on there. For those of you who are Seahawk fans that go way back to the 70s, Sherman Smith, before there was a Sean Alexander or before there was a Beast Mode, there was a Sherman Smith. And so, you know, Russell Okung was in there as well. You know, just great. You know, a great video. I recommend that if you haven't had the chance, it's called Making of a Champion. If you haven't had the chance to take a look at that, take the time out to take a look at that. And, you know, after you take a look at that, reach within yourself and ask yourself, hey, you know, am I doing everything that I possibly can to be the best? To be the best person that I can possibly be. And not only doing that, but be a light to other people so that they can prosper and then that they could get better. And so, you know, that's my pulpit part. I'm going to get off Sean Wally because, you know, that – the video is called Making of a Champion, and if you have the chance, it's on our Facebook page, and, you know, again, you know, find it within yourself to go out there and do something great. After you score that touchdown, make that slam dunk, or hit that home run, understand that there's a bigger purpose for you outside of that. And so, you know, it's up to you from there, Sean Wally.
And that's the entire point of Making of a Champion, is that there's so much more to life than football as we're watching on Monday Night Football right now. So much more to life than the World Series that is also happening or has happened tonight in St. Louis, where the Red Sox took command and won the game. It's the fact that you have to be great not only at that, but everything else, at the everyday things, at, you know, I have to be a great driver to get my kids safely to school. I have to be a great janitor at my day job. It doesn't matter whether you're a teacher, an orthodontist, a radio engineer, or you happen to have the gift to play in the NFL. You have to be great at that, but there's more to life than your job. Your job does not consume you. There's so many facets in life that we all have to deal with. And I think that Clint Gresham, Russell Wilson, Russell Okung, Sherman Smith, all the coaches, assistants that were involved in that production were just showing how great they are at the game of life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's huge. That's huge, man. And so, you know, as we move forward, we're going to continue to have great guests. We're going to continue to, you know, share those, you know, those things that, you know, help these players move on from, you know, again, the X's and O's that they, you know, that they face each and every day. And, you know, we hope that we can continue to bring on such an awesome show that we do, Mr. Wally. Number 25 in the books, my friend.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in the 916, the Elk Grove, Sacramento, California area. I am Sean Boyd in the 509 Eastern Washington, Tri-Cities, Washington.
Sean Wally.
Exact.
You, there's two Sean Boyds, but go ahead. Hey, on that note, we told you guys that we would give you an update. For those of you who have stayed tuned in to our awesome show, the Red Sox take care of business in the World Series. They're up 3-2 as they head back to Boston. They win against the St. Louis Cardinals 3-1. In a tough baseball battle today. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if the Cardinals can come back from this one, Sean Wally.
Well, not only that, but it's going to be a doubly sad night in St. Louis if the Rams can't figure out the Seahawks, as it's 14-9 Seattle in the fourth quarter, but the Rams do have the ball.
Oh, man. So we've got some things to do, obviously, after we go off the air here. And so it's been a great show, Mr. Wally. And, you know, show number 25 in the books. We look forward to a great show next week. Don Newsom, our engineer, excellent job as always. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. You have been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.